Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Start the show.
All right. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
The Talking Sports with the 12th Man is officially kicking off. For some of you that don't know, the NFL draft is over. I'm going to harken back to Dr. Dre. What we have left is the aftermath. That's what we have right now. So that's where we are right now.
Rod, hey, after the show, it's Gary. The after party.
Good, I see you over there. I'm going to tell you this really quickly, too. I'm not here to be your mentor, by the way. So just want to let you know, I'm not here at all to be your mentor. So just want to throw that out there if you didn't know. So that's how
Come on, Ryan.
The best leaders are the ones that develop leaders.
Hey, talk to him, Rob.
Tell me, the best leaders are the ones that develop leaders.
Talk to him. Hey, I'm sorry, my bad. Don't let me disrupt the show. Go ahead and get it started. My fault.
I had this song queued up. You're a jerk. I know. You're a jerk. Oh, man.
Hit him with it, Dre.
I don't want to, like, blow out you guys' ear, man, but I literally have it queued up. You're a jerk. I know. But, wow, we are ready to get this party started. We got a lot of things to discuss. We are graced by Curtis's presence, West Coast, East Coast, everyone is representing. We're going to definitely go around the horn and check in with everybody because we have a lot of things to discuss and ready to get this party started. So without further ado, I'm going to check in with JQ. I know you're kind of driving, JQ, so how you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm almost home, but I hear you hearing what that. Mr. Cheeks, East Coast, West Coast, and worldwide. I like it.
That's
right. I got you, right? I see what you did there. I was with you.
They ain't ready. I'm glad that you kind of feeling what I'm putting down. That's what's up, man. So I'm always, there's always a song for something. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm good, bro. How you doing?
We're good, man. We'll let you get settled and everything like that, too. Let's check in with Rob Ford. Appreciate you, Rob. How you feeling, man?
Hey, doing great. Had a long day today, but, hey, life is good. Gary would know about this. I was at the Jet Drag in Atlanta all day today, raising money for American Cancer Society. So, a lot of fun. Hopefully, I got a little bit of a voice left.
Hey, Rob, did those boys from Salt Lake win again?
Man, you know they did. They walk off the bus and have us intimidated.
Come on, man. You know you were yelling when you were tossing on walls at the strip club. That don't count. That money don't go to the American Cancer Society. It goes to the strippers.
Wow. No. No.
Oh, no. Delta is big on that.
Delta's big on that. I don't even know where to go from that one. Go ahead, Rob. Are you good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to be careful with JQ. He might have had a few too many brewskis tonight.
No, man.
Everything's good. I appreciate y'all working it out for us to do the show tonight as opposed to last night. So appreciate it. Hopefully next week. We should be hopefully back to Tuesday on next week.
I would say we're pretty cool on certain days. As long as we get enough time, we can make it happen. I do agree with JQ. Yeah, the Cinco de Mayo would have been rough to pull off, so I'm glad we're able to get in on Wednesday. And, you know, typically we're pretty flexible unless, you know, sometimes I have my Thursday event. But,
I don't drink too many margaritas tomorrow.
With all the drinking margaritas and wearing sombreros, you know, nobody could have got a word in edgewise.
That's true.
We've all been talking
about
soccer.
Well, you know Gary's going to be the one drinking the margaritas. I'm not a margarita drinker, so you ain't got to worry about that.
That Gary was kind of lit that 1 week, man, so at least he admitted it. So
yes, sir.
They're working on Coronas, Gary.
No margaritas for me.
What'd you say, Gary?
Gary said, I don't think I can make it.
No margaritas for me for a while.
And he was like, I'm not talking, y'all, and he was talking about effing the Patriots. It was hilarious, man. So we were like, yeah, you don't need to come up with that.
And I was thinking some evil shit about him, too.
That text made my day. I said, oh, I have definitely rubbed off on Gary.
We got Curtis in the house. How's Curtis doing? How you feeling, Curtis?
I'm doing good. I was just a
His computer's acting up, so we're doing the two phone thing.
Yeah.
That's okay. We can make it work. We can make it work.
Yeah.
So really quickly, we're gonna jump in here. We're gonna do a quick. The number is 424-243-9519. The number. Follow us. Call in. Check in with your boys. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12. THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we always encourage you guys to check out the Facebook page, which is Talking Sports with the 12th Man, or if you put in 12th Man Sports, obviously number 12, THMAN Sports, you will find us in that regard as well. So we got a lot of things to talk about. Curtis, we missed you. I'm gonna let you kind of kick us off too, you know, really quickly, your thoughts on who do you think had the top draft. And we can go around the room and kind of get our thoughts about everything that's going on, too, because I'm sure we could love to talk about our teams and just kind of your initial thoughts about that, because there were a few surprises, I think, as the draft kind of unraveled, and some people that obviously got drafted later than expected, which is what we expected. But I'm sure as you kind of, like, the dust settles, like I said, I can imagine kind of what happened. So, Gary, your thoughts real quickly, and we'll start from there. Curtis and Gary, if you will.
Well, what I would like to say is I think one of the steals of the draft was a linebacker that the Cowboys picked up in the later rounds from LSU.
I'm surprised about the Cowboys.
And I'm real happy with that. Rob, you wanna talk about that linebacker that the Cowboys picked up? I just briefly read about him. He had an injury after the combine. He had some sort of a back injury that's why he went so late in the draft. But they feel that, you know, that he's going to recover, and they're pretty confident that he may even be able to play this coming season at some point. So I'm pretty happy with that. And there was some high grades on him early on. So what do you think about that, Rob?
Oh, DeMone Clark is, from a value standpoint, getting him in the fifth round, I thought was one of the Cowboys' better picks in the draft. No doubt about it. Prior to the injury, he would have been at worst a second rounder. A phenomenal defender, sideline to sideline linebacker, extremely athletic, good speed. You know, he may not make it back this year until midseason, but from a value standpoint, you know, whatever you get out of this year, out of him, we land yet, but you hope to get him ready for the not this season, but the following season, right? But from a value standpoint,
yep,
this is a great pick. You know, there were a few teams that made some picks like this. You know, the Ravens with David Ojabo in the second round. You know, he would have been a first-round pick if it wasn't for his injury, clearly. So great investment for the Ravens. They know they may not get a lot out of him this year, but, you know, the following year, you know, they got themselves another athletic pass rusher. And you know, you pay the price, and you get him at a second rounder, which he's probably a first round talent. So, but yeah, I like to pick for DeMone Clark for the Cowboys. Extremely bad. I thought it was one of the Cowboys' best value picks of the draft.
It was their only good pick.
Sorry. Oh, I would disagree with that. I'm very confident in how the Cowboys picked. They've been picking well for a long time. Matter of fact, they were the first ones that started picking these offensive linemen up with their first picks in the first round, and now you've got every team in the league that's doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm very confident in their pick.
I know the last couple of years the Cowboys draft was a little more highly rated. But I think this is a fairly underrated draft. I don't think it's as highly rated as the last couple of years' draft. I know a lot of draft prognosticators give the Cowboys a C on average. I would give them somewhere around a B-minus or maybe even a B. I like the Tyler Smith pick at 24. I thought it was great value there. I think he's got great athleticism. That's kind of where I had a target. I had him targeted to the Cowboys in quite a few mocks at 24. I have no problem with the Tyler Smith. The second round pick of Sam Williams, Sam Williams, extremely great athlete at the defensive end position. He had some off the field issues. He probably would have gone a lot higher, but hey, the Cowboys had some off the field issues with Randy Gregory, and they had some successful seasons with him too.
Rob, before you go to the third round. Was Jermaine Johnson still on the board when they took that offensive tackle from Tulsa? Did the Jets move in front of Dallas, or were they after Dallas?
No, they were after Dallas. Jermaine Johnson was at.
Oh, was it? Well, okay. Well, then, yeah, I disagree with that. Then go ahead.
Yeah. Jalen Tolbert, I think, is going to be an underrated receiver in this draft. So I like the value that they got in the third round. You got 6'4".
I get that
good
one.
Size, good speed. So I don't really have too big of a problem with the first three round picks. They started reaching on some of the later round picks. Jake Ferguson in the fourth round. I had him somewhere in the sixth or seventh round, or maybe even undrafted, the tight end from Wisconsin. You look at the offensive tackle from North Dakota, same thing. I had him sixth, seventh, or in the undrafted range. Deron Bland from Fresno State, same thing. I had him somewhere in that seventh or undrafted range. But Damone Clark and John Ridgeway from Arkansas I thought were great value picks in the fifth round for the Cowboys.
Great
value. Devin Harper from Oklahoma State around the seventh round, undrafted. So it's really more their fourth and fifth round and their sixth round selections. I had a question with their value. Not necessarily have a problem with their value on Tyler Smith, Sam Williams, and Jalen Tolbert at all.
First round pick. Listen, if Jermaine Johnson is there, he's falling, and you Jerry Johnson, and you don't care anyway, and you already lost Buddy to Denver, that dude was valued in the top seven, and you had a chance to go get it. And you ain't got an offensive tackle because it was a knee position, but not sort of the best value on most people's boards. That dude, I think, led all offensive linemen in penalties. And I think the Cowboys were like third or fourth in offensive penalties, or offensive holes.
It's right in.
Things they'll take it. It's like, why would you go do that in the first round when you get Jermaine Johnson? You can get a top seven talent in 23. Jerry don't care about that. That's why I say that. Like, I get it. They had to have a tackle. But Jermaine Johnson falls that far. I disagree with that. I'll give you the wide receiver in the third round. I'll give you that. But I wasn't a fan of the reach. I wasn't a fan of the Bengals. To be honest with you, I understand what they were trying to do. They were trying to get faster. They looked around the AFC and said, holy shit, we need a whole new secondary. And that's what they did. They said, we need a whole new secondary. We got offensive weapons is good. A defensive tackle in the rotation. And then we're going straight defensive backs. They drafted like four or five defensive backs. And I was sitting there like, well, this ain't
sexy. They're making sure, JQ.
They got like three safeties, the Bengals, huh? Didn't they?
But those dudes, but that's but people that say that about it, that's a narrow way of looking at it. Every one of those dudes, they all talked about their versatility and their ability to play safety on the outside and the nickel. So they were saying, okay, let's get a whole bunch of athletic dudes to deal with all these athletic wide receivers and mix and match how we figure they'll match up with this team. So I get it, but I feel like they reached for the kid from Nebraska. I think they traded up to get the kid from Toledo. I think it would have been there. And it was just like, come on, man. Like, I get Dak in the first round. I hate Michigan. We talk about it. But Game of 31 is
great
good
pick
value
in the first round for the Bengals. Daxton Hill.
I just said that. Great value for them. They came from Nebraska, they moved up to go get. And they came from Akron, they traded up to go get. I'm like, I think those dudes would have been there. So what I like to do is measure value versus need. If you can meet a need and value, I'm going to do this. But
yeah,
I feel like the Cowboys, the same thing with Jermaine Johnson. They were trying to fill a need and didn't necessarily fit with the value. That's the only point.
Yeah. Now, you know, the question on who the Cowboys should have picked is one thing, but the question of value, the value of Tyler Smith was there at 24. Now, the question on who they should have picked, that's a different question. But the value, Tyler Smith was anywhere between 17 to 28 in most people's mock drafts. So, I mean,
yeah, but I've seen a whole bunch of mock drafts with Jermaine Johnson winning the top 10. So, if you're talking about comparison of value.
But I'm just, you make an argument of who they should have picked. But as far as value is concerned, the value is there for Tyler Smith at 24. But who they should have picked, that's a different question.
It's relative value. Yes, if you want to give him 17 to 24, that's great, and he lands in that range. But if you come out somebody that was supposed to be 7 to 10 at the same thing,
yeah,
the greater value that you get by picking that guy, you have to discuss it and evaluate this guy because that's a span of, 7 to 10 picks, right? That's why
right.
I say not necessarily his value necessarily wasn't good on all the people's boards, but there was a greater value to be had that they didn't go get.
Yep. Well, obviously, there are a lot of teams that didn't think his value was up there for some reason. I guess we'll have to figure out why.
There was a run on tackles, too, JQ, because that happened, too, right? All them tackles started going and everything like that, too. So you definitely have to look at how the draft played out as well. I mean, but I'm with you. You know, it's like if Jermaine Johnson's there, like, damn, that's a good player, right? You know, so that would have been a situation where I grabbed that guy. Maybe I trade back up or something like that and kind of get – but, you know, we never know how the draft's going to play out, too, for sure, you know.
Oh, did the Cowboys have, like, 5 fourth-round picks in this draft?
Yeah.
5 fifth-round.
Yeah.
They're 5 fifth-round.
Yeah, 5 fifth
they
round
used
round
all
picks.
Four. No, they have 4 fifth-rounds. They used them all. And that's why – that's I don't question the value of Tyler Smith at all. I thought they were on the money with the value there. I thought they were on the money with Sam Williams. I thought they were on the money with Jalen Tolbert from a value standpoint. They got picked around the area where they were graded. But the fifth-round picks is where I thought they made a lot of mistakes. The fourth-round pick, I didn't think the value was there. Two of their fifth-round picks, I didn't think the value there. And their sixth-round pick, I didn't think the value was there. So that's why I would give them somewhere around a B minus.
Okay. So I agree. So our only rub is the first-round pick is what we're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with all the rest of that. I just, you know, the first one, if I can get a dude that's supposed to go top 10 and he falls to me, I'm Jerry Jones, and I have proven in the past that I don't care about that. I'm going to take that piece. I'm going to always take a dude that was 7 to 10 over 17 and 24. If I'm picking 24 or 25.
I can't believe we're talking about the Cowboys as much. Look at that. Look at all the love y'all getting right now.
My bad.
Love it.
All right.
Love it. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
I was watching it, and I was honest about my own team. I wasn't in love with my team either, so I was honest.
I mean, that's how we play out.
I'm going to tell you, though, that white Saints jersey with the black and gold trim, that Olave, is going to be so sick.
I got you one coming.
Hey, you guys were... And we were talking about that too because whenever we were kind of doing the text back and forth, they're like, "Yeah, I wonder what the Saints are doing." Man, I knew they were going Chris. Man, they love Ohio State wide receivers, bro. Or they just love Ohio State in period. You know, so we knew that was going to happen too. So it's
nothing is Sean Payton and Drew Brees is gone, but nothing has changed about the Saints. They still like Ohio State players. They trade up in every draft. They never trade down in the draft. They don't necessarily go for quantity of picks. They go for quality of picks. And nothing has changed about what they do. Every year they trade up.
There you go.
And most years it works. I mean, last year they traded up for Paulson and Debo, and he was starting cornerback. He was best rookie last year. And we'll have to see how it turns out this year. But they do the same thing every year. They trade up in the draft. They like Ohio State players. Nothing has changed even with Sean Payton gone. That's what they do.
Yeah, it's something to be said for having an identity. But before we move off that, I just
we got to get some love to the Jets. That was a fantastic draft by the Jets.
Oh, absolutely. They were one of my top five. I know we were getting to that, but yeah, I totally agree with you there.
Yeah. You get to get Sauce and to get Jermaine and to get
I knew we messed up the draft. I didn't find that clip. I was trying to find that clip in there, man. Yeah, go ahead.
Space out. Tell me, Rob, all three of those. It was Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, they got Sauce Gardner.
Ray Johnson.
Sauce Gardner was great. Sauce Gardner was a great pick.
I mean, they got three first-round picks. And arguably, in most cases, they arguably got the best corner in the draft. I know
Jermaine Johnson.
I know the kid from LSU went ahead of Sauce Gardner, Stingley. And I know Drake London went ahead of Gary Wilson. But arguably, they got the best corner and the best wide receiver in the draft in Sauce Gardner and Gary Wilson. And they got the best of the second tier of pass rushers in Jermaine Johnson. I mean, Jermaine Johnson is out there with the Kayvon Thibodeau, the Aiden Hutchinson. And, of course, the kid that went number one overall. So they arguably got the best corner, arguably the best wide receiver, the best of the second-tier pass rusher. Then they come in the second round and get Breece Hall, who was arguably the best running back in the draft as well.
Yes.
So he's going to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. So they really just helped out their quarterback tremendously. They got a running back. They got a weapon on the perimeter. They got the tight end from Ohio State. I also thought that was good value.
Jimmy Rucker.
Another underrated value.
They got Jim Rucker. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Another underrated value. All of their picks were great value. Max Mitchell, offensive tackle from Louisiana Lafayette. I had him going in the third round of some mocks. A very underrated football player that's going to provide some depth on their offensive line, who can also kick in and play guard. And then Michael Clemens, defensive end from Texas A&M. He's athletic. He's a long. You know, he had some games where he didn't show up. It's probably the only reason why he fell, but he had some games where he really showed up. And he showed up against LSU and Alabama last year. So, you know, you look at some tapes and you'd be like, whoa, this kid should be the second rounder at least. But so all of their picks is tremendous value. I mean, they were one of the five teams, just like JQ just mentioned, that I was going to touch on too. And I know JQ's not going to like this, but I love the Ravens draft too.
We're going to talk about that because,
you know, Kyle Hamilton,
yeah.
You know, you look at their backfield now, they got Marcus Williams from the Saints, who's arguably the best center fielder in the game. And then you add Kyle Hamilton, who's going to probably play strong safety there with his size, 6'4", and his length. He'll be able to cover practically any tight end in the league. So, I mean, that's a tremendous pick. And then you can tie to Lindenbaum. We already talked about David Ojabo. Travis Jones, underrated defensive tackle from UConn, and they had Daniel Falele,
fourth round. Yeah.
I mean, he could have been in the second round. Jalen Armand Davis, cornerback from Alabama, tight end Charlie Kolar, tight end Isaiah Likely from Coastal Carolina, extremely athletic, gives them another weapon as well. And then their seventh round pick, Tyler Beatty, running back from Missouri. He's going to be a sleeper, too. So they did a phenomenal job, I thought, in the draft.
Can we pause real quick? Because I want to talk about that, too, because, you know, sometimes you always talk about teams that draft well, right? So whenever you're, like, watching teams, and there's a couple people that, you know, like, you're, like, watching, you know, Kyle Hamilton, like, why did the Ravens pick him? Oh, shit, did we just mess up? Because I thought about that immediately, like, once – I mean, he was the best player there, obviously, like – they get this guy. Then you turn around, and you had a lot of these thoughts about, you know, Tyler Lindenbaum being, like, too small, too short, whatever. Ravens picked him. The Ravens are pretty smart. So if the Ravens are picking him, like, okay, did we just miss something, you know, because they know something we don't know. And you're looking at all these picks, David Ojabo, they get him. I mean, you're like, damn, they're just stacking this. And then you get, like you said, David Lally, you're like, what the hell? And then you're sitting back like, you know, you start to really wonder why these teams are, like, always drafting well. I mean, they just keep, you know, having multiple picks. And the same thing, like, you know, I know we talked about this, JQ. I'll get back to what you're talking about too, Rob. Whenever I'm looking at Philadelphia draft Jordan Davis, I'm like, shit. Again, it's like teams that just draft well, they know how to draft.
And
then you're like, you know, and you're just like.
They got the whole middle of a national championship caliber defense.
Yes.
They got him and Dean patrolling the middle.
Good luck,
and you're like,
twice a year.
And I'm like, did we miss something? Did we just give them, like, you know, and I'm sorry, guys, you know, we're talking about the Cowboys, not going to talk about the Eagles here, but I'm sitting back like, damn, you know, because, again.
They had another one.
What the hell? Go ahead, Rob. I just went out.
They had a fantastic draft. And they got A.J.
Yeah.
Brown.
Well,
the Eagles have come up.
Oh, well, you already
Jalen Hurts
is one of my five, too. The Eagles is one of my five. You already touched on it. Jordan Davis, you got to include A.J. Brown in that draft as well. Trade the first rounder to get him, getting the Kobe Dean in the third round, and Cam Jurgens in the second round. Interior offensive lineman from Nebraska. Phenomenal job by the Eagles. And the last two teams I'll touch on in my top five, the Chiefs and the Packers. They round out my top five. I really like what the Chiefs did, too. Trent McDuffie, cornerback, give them some depth in the backfield. George Karlaftis, edge rusher from Purdue. And then they get Sky Moore in the second round. They give them another. They got Sky Moore in the second round. They got Brian Cook, the safety from Cincinnati, who I really like. Leo Chenault, linebacker from Wisconsin. And a very underrated Joshua Williams from Fayetteville State, too. Extremely athletic. Got long arms to play the cornerback position. Darian Kennard, I had him going in the second round in most of my drafts. Offensive tackle from Kentucky. So phenomenal job by the Chiefs. And then the last one on my top five was the Packers. I like the Packers. They didn't force the issue with drafting a wide receiver in the first round. They went out and got a couple of Georgia players, athletic linebacker Quay Walker and defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt. They stayed focused. They came back in the top of the second round and got Christian Watson, underrated from North Dakota State. They got Sean Ryan, offensive tackle from UCLA. Romeo Dubs, another wide receiver from Nevada, who's very underrated. And Wake Forest offensive lineman Zach Time. That dude played tackle, guard, and center. He's extremely versatile. Great pickup. And Kingsley Igbinoghi, offside linebacker from South Carolina. I had him going in the second, third round range. So they did a phenomenal job. And Rasheed Walker, offensive tackle from Penn State. They got him in the seventh round. And most mocks, he was going in the second and third, including mine. So extremely good value. They stay close to their board and stay focused. So I give the Ravens, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Jets, and the Eagles as my top five when it came to the draft.
I can't argue with any of that.
Wow.
What it was?
I was waiting. Let's see now. And I didn't see in progress what they got. But I think they're gonna make a bunch of deals before us. And I was in the restaurant in Oregon, top pick for to science. And I'm around. See how he does.
I hope he's a bust.
Well, now it seems like Cleveland's a bust, and the ex-quarterback of Philadelphia is a bust.
That was your guy.
Yeah.
That was your guy, Curtis. Don't talk about them that way.
I thought he was. But he could not be.
The Eagles had the best draft in the East. By quite a bit.
Best draft in the East?
Yeah.
The Eagles had the best. I would say all the others were, you know, okay. Nothing great. But I thought the Eagles mm-hmm. had an outstanding draft.
And they got two first rounders in next year's draft.
The Eagles had a fucking fantastic draft. And like you just said, they really just have to battle the Cowboys and it's diluted NFC. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it, and you know what's so great about it for the Eagles when you move off the draft, is that if Jalen Hurts can't deal with these weapons, you got two first-round picks next year, and you can use both of them and additional capital to move up into the first round
yeah.
and go get one of these quarterbacks. Like, that's what's ridiculous about
words
it.
Right
that's
out my
underrated.
Mouth.
It's crazy.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say the exact same thing. They got two first-round picks in next year's draft, and if Hurts don't perform, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to use that capital to get a quarterback. And you look at the quarterbacks in next year's draft, you got C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, 1 and 2. I mean, shucks, you got Will Levis from Kentucky. You got Tyler Van Dyke from Miami. So, I mean, the
Anthony
quarterback
Richardson.
Class is loaded.
No, okay.
And you know there's going to be at least one that come out of nowhere.
That's what. Right.
Stop it. You name two quarterbacks and you name some other dude. So –
Anthony Richardson.
You gotta move up. They go get C.J. Stroud.
I said Anthony Richardson. Yeah, those are the top two. Yeah.
Ain't nobody
yeah.
moving up for that dude from Miami. Ain't nobody trading two
no.
first round picks and additional capital for that dude from Miami. Two dudes.
No, I was just saying the quarterbacks in general. No, I was just
he was
about
listening
the quarterbacks in general
for sure.
Hey, you
yeah,
know there's
I know,
gonna be another one that come out of nowhere.
I'm just messing
I
with
wouldn't
you.
Waste,
it's
I
the
would,
same way that
I
every time you go TV
team
and they include Sam Howell, you're like. Sorry.
I'm a Hurricane fan, and I wouldn't waste a first-round pick on that guy.
I'm just saying. Only certain, you know, when you watch it and they get to, like, Sam Howell and, like, the fourth one, you're looking like, come on, man. Listen, don't get to Sam Howell in this conversation. That's how I feel about the class you just talked about. There's C.J. Stroud, there's Bryce Young, and then there's those other dudes.
Yeah. But keep in mind, every year there's always a quarterback to come out of nowhere. You know, going into last
sure.
season, we did not think Kenny Pickett was going to be. How many of y'all honestly knew who Kenny Pickett was before last season? So he was
not
the only quarterback that got picked. And the year
Joe
Burrow got picked number one, he going into the season, he was projected as a fifth rounder.
Wow.
So
yeah.
there's going to be a quarterback that will come out of nowhere this year. Shucks, for all
okay,
we know, it could be Tyler Van Dyke.
Maybe. Outside of C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, name me the schools some other quarterbacks are at again. Read the list again. What schools are? Just read the schools.
So let's. So I got C.J. Stroud 1. I got Bryce Young 2. I got Will Levis going number 11. Tyler Van Dyke from Miami.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Where
does he go to school? Kentucky?
Who's that?
Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler.
No, number 3.
Miami.
Okay, that's,
no,
that's nothing more than a 7.
I'm sorry. I got Anthony Richardson from Florida going to 4, and then
that's
Tyler
what
Van Dyke.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
it.
Right.
Okay,
I,
so
I forgot
we named a whole bunch of 9. We named a whole bunch of 9 and 8-win teams. Alabama and Ohio State going to win more games than that. That's why I say it's going to be them 2 and then them 4. So you're right. They may end up sneaking and moving up, but those are the 2 if you're talking about in terms of Philadelphia. Having the ammunition to move up. They're not moving up for that third dude in the list. They're not. With Stroud
yeah.
and Young, they'll move up for it. It hurts.
Yeah, but y'all also got to keep in mind where they're drafting next year. We have no idea where they're going to fall. We have no idea where the Saints are going to fall, who they're getting this other first-round pick from, too. So do you have the
sure.
ammunition to go all the way up to 1 and 2 for those guys? You might be stuck with getting one of those other guys. It is still way too early for us to jump to conclusions. I mean, obviously, we're talking about what's today's date, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Obviously,
right.
C.J. Stroud is the guy you want. He's got the size. He's got the arm. He's got the athleticism. And the only reason I got him rated higher than Bryce Young because Bryce Young is just a little bit small in stature. But you
not
look at a guy
bit.
Like Anthony
a
Richardson.
A lot of it.
Anthony Richardson is a big dude with a rocket arm, but he's raw. You know, he's probably, you know, he's a little bit raw right now. He's got some growing to do at the quarterback position. But when you look at size and arm talent, shucks, he could be ahead of Bryce Young, but he don't have the accuracy that Bryce Young has right now.
Come on, man. That'd be one of the Heisman Trophy. You know he ain't going ahead of Bryce Young. Robert, you know that's not going to happen.
Hey, Kenny Pickett, who you thought was going to be the quarterback, number one quarterback this past year?
He wouldn't go above Bryce Young.
You thought Matt Corral was going to be number one quarterback in this draft, and Kenny Pickett was number one. When Joe Burrow came out, who we thought was going to be number one quarterback? Tua, right?
Joe
Burrow came all the way
that.
Up, and he passed Tua. So, I mean, as of now, I mean, you're right. As of now, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are the top two quarterbacks, as of now. But you know there's going to be somebody that's going to come out of nowhere and challenge those two guys.
Okay, so I'm going to do you like this. So I'm giving it to you here in a second. I'm going to move on from this. You're going to do like trading places. I bet you one crispy dollar that in the next draft, the first two quarterbacks that come off the board are C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young.
I ain't betting that. I'm staying away from that. I ain't betting.
It's a dollar. You sure?
Man, you might take that bet, Rob.
No.
I just put out my top 32, and I got CJ. I just put out my top 32, and I got CJ and Bryce Young 1 and 2. So why would I bet against that? I'm just saying there's a chance that somebody can come out of nowhere.
That's why Rob bet all the houses. That dude is tight with his dollars, boy.
He's very tight. I do it. Let me get one rib.
I posted on our Talking Sports page that I got CJ Stroud 1 and Bryce Young 2. Why would I bet against that? I'm just saying there's always, you know, there's going to be somebody to come out of nowhere, whether or not they pass them up, but there will be somebody to come out of nowhere.
You're right. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm sorry, Gary. It's my fault. You go ahead.
And it's going to be somebody that fall off of this list. Who it is, we don't know. Could be Will Levis.
It ain't going to be them two.
Whatever happened to Spencer Rattler? Remember Spencer Rattler? We were like, man, what the hell?
Them two dudes ain't Spencer Rattler. Them two dudes I just said have way more talent, and Spencer Rattler is a head case, and you knew he was a head case. So they not going to unravel like Spencer Rattler.
Thought he was going to be drafted pretty high going into the year. Like Spencer Rattler was on the list, like Rob said, and all of a sudden he dropped out of nowhere. You know, that was a whole other
But who was the one? Go back and listen to the calls. Who was the one? It was him and Sam Howell. I told you them two dudes was not the dude. And y'all made fun of me. Rob still made fun of me about Sam Howell. So not
we
made
fun
of
about Sam
Howell. You hard on them two dudes. Yeah. I told you them two dudes wasn't them dudes. You can tell.
Yeah. All right, Gary, before you get in here, it's funny because, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit Curtis going to too, because I'm going to talk two things because it's funny because, you know, I thank you. I know Gary always calls you to go to the show, JQ, and you kind of calm me down because, you know, once the Falcons drafted Drake London, I was thinking all about what you said. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, he started the running wide receivers, so that was good. And then I was still kind of hurt whenever I got the black Andy Dalton. I'm like, oh, shit, is this a good pick or a bad pick? You know, I didn't know, man. But for the value in the third round, we still don't know. It was like, oh, damn. You know, was JQ right? Did we
you can't question
black
the value.
Andy Dalton? Yeah, it was like, I just kept thinking in my head, black Andy Dalton. That's what I kept seeing in my head.
Third round, you can't question the value. But, I mean, you take a chance on a guy like that in the third round. If he doesn't pan
That's
out,
true.
Hey, you spend the third round on him. If he pans out, hey, you got a good quarterback in the third round. So, I mean, I think –
You have to take Malik Willis right there. You've got to take Malik Willis. If you're sitting there looking for a quarterback in the third round, and it's Malik Willis and Desmond Ridder, you got to be thinking, well, yeah, he lasted to the third round. We got to go wide receiver first round and just pick up this quarterback we thought was going to all be gone. Picks and go. You've got to take Malik Willis. Listen. Desmond Ridder, it's the Trae Young, Luka Doncic thing, right? Getting traded for each other in the NBA draft, they'll always be linked. The fact that both of those two dudes fell behind Kenny Pickett in Atlanta, he's from Atlanta, and you don't take Malik Willis, and he balls for Tennessee, fans going to be hot with the Atlanta.
I got a theory.
That's risky.
I got a theory. And we'll let Curtis.
Who do you have ranked higher, Malik Willis or Desmond Ridder? Rob, who do you have ranked higher?
Oh, I have Malik Willis ranked higher, absolutely. But the value
I got
is
a theory.
What we're talking about.
Round. You can't question the value.
I got a theory. You can't go with another black quarterback because, you know, there's already tension in the
fans.
Right. So you got to get a mix. So now you got Desmond. He's a mix of all. We're good. So that's what it is right there.
That's what you did, man. Basically,
he ain't Patrick Mahomes. That's not what that shit is. I would have went and got Malik Willis.
I'm trying to justify what the hell happened. That's what I'm trying to justify, man. That's some bullshit. I'm hot.
I'm always for giving them the credit they should get. But if Malik Willis is sitting on the board, who was arguably the number one quarterback rated prospect, and he falls to the third round, and he's sitting on the board, and you're talking about drafting the quarterback, what are you doing? That's the beginning and the end of the conversation. Desmond Ridder was not number one on nobody's board as the top quarterback coming to this draft. But you can argue that in a whole lot of boards, Malik Willis was, and he was available, and you didn't draft him.
I'm surprised JQ thinks CJ Stroud going to be number one quarterback in the draft. Took him the whole season to buy into him.
he hated CJ Stroud.
I was waiting on him to say that.
He was hating on for CJ Stroud. We're like, man, this dude sucks.
DJ. It might be good though, but in Las Vegas, made a lot of money. But they sold that city and they sold what the NFL did. And that place was.
My place was rocking.
Isn't it the same? And man, I would have liked to be there. That looked like a lot. With all those fans.
Mm-hmm. Curtis used to spend a lot of time in Las Vegas. He used to fly down there, and he also did DJing at private parties at different casinos and stuff. And he'd always come back with a boatload of money every time.
Some,
I don't know how
he has seen some nasty and dirty shit. Curtis. DJ parties in Vegas? He has seen some stuff go down. I don't care what y'all say.
That what?
I can hear yes. The answer is yes.
Even lost wages.
Oh, good. Yeah, they just had a pro team also. And one thing I want to mention, I saw today, there's going to be 5 overseas info. One in Mexico, one in Germany, and England. I think it's going to have 2 or 3 NFL games. Matter of fact, the Seahawks to be in a game.
And they're going to play Tampa Bay.
That's a real answer.
Nice.
But the NFL is running that around. And I like to see that. Matter of fact, I've been joining the USL games for our country. We really support men's sports and it's good to see.
Yeah.
Nice. Appreciate that. Yeah, Vegas is, you know, obviously a great spot to have that, to have the draft. And it was just very colorful to see a lot of the shenanigans that were actually going down, if you will, too. So, you know, it was just it was kind of like we're happy to kind of get back to that. And just you know, back to that excitement, too. I was going to ask you guys, too, really quickly. I know we kind of spent a lot of time reviewing the draft stuff, too. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about Baker Mayfield, again, JQ's favorite quarterback in this. And then just, you know,
what?
The whole – we were talking about the latest. And it's funny because I know we were just talking about Malik and Ryan and right now who's going to start. I mean, you would probably assume that at this juncture right now, you know, Tannehill may have a slight edge. And that's the thing, too, we talk about – Rob was talking about in the draft stuff that – Malik definitely had the most upside, so that's the guy that you get. But, you know that he was pretty, pretty raw, so that's a situation. And I'll answer the question, too, is probably why the Falcons went with Desmond, because they figured he was definitely more pro-ready. But like you said, again, a couple of years down the road, you may figure out this was the best quarterback in that draft. I know, I mean, I'm with you. I'm not trying to defend the pick. I'm just telling you, it's like,
who cares
you know,
about this
you know,
year? Y'all ain't
going
to win this year? No way. So take the dude for
exactly.
2 years. You're not winning this year? No way. Atlanta?
Absolutely. I agree with
that.
I agree with you.
But then they do shit like that, and I don't understand.
Hey, we got next year. CJ Stroud.
Why not take Malik Willis? If he's a year away, you got next year. That is correct, because you don't have this year.
I don't know, JQ, damn it. I don't know why we did what we did. You know I'm pissed already. Why did you do that to the man? I'm trying to freaking get over this, man. I'm already pissed, and you brought it back out, man. I was calm. I was fine until you did that tonight, man.
Oh, man.
So you want me to lie to you, or do you want me to be a friend?
I want you to be my friend and not lie to me. I know that's what you did, man. It's all good. I'm just saying.
Listen. I go to the Falcons game. I put my Falcons shit on when I go to the game. Have my Falcons stuff on when I went with you. When Rob showed up, they played the Saints. I have my Falcons. I want to see them do well, but if I'm being objective about that pick, I'm just being objective about that pick. So it can't be because one is more pro-ready now. He's not walking into a playoff team where they just need a quarterback that's pro-ready. That's not where Atlanta is. So why not get the do with the best upside? I don't know. I don't understand that. I didn't think that. I was shocked.
And I know a lot of this stuff is not released, but you got to wonder what happened to Malik Wilson. Was it the Wonder League test was horrible? What happened?
He's so good.
My family.
He's 6 foot and
what did they see?
Yeah, we'll let Curtis talk too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what did they see where that so many teams passed on him? Because I was shocked by that.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What's out there because I like how they don't they have the advertisement on the side of the stadium and they put a big sponsor on the scoreboard. But they don't break up the game until halftime. And I think that's a great plan. I love that project. I cover all sports would do something like that. But they don't lose the game. And all the advertising can be on the side of the global. That's a great project for sports. I really like that. And it moves along. So I couldn't show and I can't say well the one thing I can say about soccer is I've always judged it Hey. Hey, them fans. For any game they play, because I'm a big fan of and I did see you when you played in the USA, the greatest soccer player that ever played. I think you're maintaining right now. They play Brazil. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't. I don't know the name of the guy. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I was looking. And when I was helping, flying down there and seeing them play, Brazil has my attention. I know there's a lot of problems down there, but if you got mine, that could be one of the great places to trigger.
Okay.
And I'm a fan of Portland project. And if you guys don't remember, in 5 years, our team up here in Portland has been in the championship game. Last year, it was up here in Portland, and Portland ready to come to New York there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great game. It was a good game.
Good stuff. Good stuff. We appreciate that. And I guess, you know, we're kind of transitioning, you know, because I know we definitely had a lot of NFL talk. And I know if we want to, you know, the last 7 minutes, we're going to talk about a little bit about what's happening with, you know, the NBA playoffs and whatnot, too. I know, Rob, there's some stuff that we could possibly, you know, obviously move on to next week, if you will, too, as far as a couple situations. I know certain things are topical right now. We can, you know, talk about what happened with, you know, obviously just the Celtics kind of clamping down on Giannis. You know, Morant is going off, if you will, 47 points against, you know, the Warriors. And then, you know, that very nasty injury, you know, what happened to Gary Payton the second, you know, that was a crazy foul. And just kind of see what's kind of playing out, too, because right now, if you're watching the playoffs, you're kind of seeing the situation between the East and the West and certain things. We know, like, there's some physicality that used to only come from the East. And now you kind of see a little bit of that going back to the West, too, which is interesting as well, too. So, you know, right now, the way that it's playing out, looks like it's going to be, you know, right now, I know it's early, but it's looking like a Boston, you know, kind of Miami kind of finals right now, too, see how that plays out. And then, you know, again, for the West, you know, what say you? I mean, I know Memphis is definitely trying to put in a fight. So we're going to see what happens with that, too. I think, you know, obviously Morant, he's trying to carry the Grizzlies on his shoulder. But, you know, we'll see if they have enough, if you will, too. But go ahead. And I don't know if that's about Jerry Jones that you sent to JQ. Is that what that's about? Yeah, that's crazy. He got involved in a minor car accident. So we hope that he's okay. That's for Curtis and Gary, too. So it looks like he had a little situation there, too. So, yeah, we can talk about that. Go ahead, gentlemen, as we get wrapped up.
That just happened?
Go ahead. Yeah, we just saw – I just saw that, too, on ESPN, kind of, like, popped in, too, that just a minor car accident. Just taken to the hospital for, you know, precautionary measures, if you will, too. So Yeah, we hope that he's okay and everything like that for sure.
Good.
In the NBA, I would hear two concepts. The guy and his guys asleep for a sick for not remembering name.
What team did he play for?
But that is in common. I think he's got a real mental problem. The guy that came from Philadelphia and went to the Jersey. I was with a contract to a floor for Burnett, the father's owner. But if he has real mental problems, and I think he does, I would pay for his mental problems.
Who is it?
And New Jersey, they have so many problems. There's him. And that guard that they love, not wearing a mask.
Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're talking, and now we know.
Yeah.
So it's Brooklyn you're talking about. And
yeah.
You don't care if the contract for Kyrie is.
I would
tear it up.
I would burn those down. But I guess the NBA union must have a lot of power. They must.
Well, I'll tell you the series that I'm like. I'm liking this, this Dallas and Phoenix. I'm watching it as it's going on. Phoenix is one of these teams that as they get down and they start getting desperate, they get even more chippy. So this is a fun one to watch. You know, Chris Paul has always been that chippy guy, you know. Yeah, he's made a name for himself with that, and it isn't a nice name, but this is a fun series to watch. It's in the third quarter right now. Phoenix is up by 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music that ends our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Next week, as of right now, we're planning on Tuesday night of next week. That's going to be 11 p.m. on the East Coast. For our listeners in Miami and Philadelphia that's watching the Heat in the Sixers, y'all barely had a chance with Embiid. Y'all have no chance without Embiid. Sorry to say, Miami Heat going to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. Central Time Zone, that's going to be 10 p.m. for you all. Milwaukee. I don't think y'all can do it either without Chris Middleton. It's going to be tough. You know, you need another weapon. It's going to be tough for y'all. Milwaukee, tune in. We want to hear from y'all next week. See what y'all got to say. And the Mountain Time Zone, Albuquerque, Denver. That's going to be 9 p.m. for y'all. And then on the West Coast, Phoenix. You know, we want to hear from y'all. It's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I took up most of the time tonight. Go ahead, Gary.
I'm loving these NBA games right now. To me, I think that you know, Golden State, you know, man, they're in a tough
series. That's the best series.
Yeah.
That's the best series. The Golden State Memphis series is the best series left.
You know, I'm enjoying all of it, really. It's just, it's been fantastic. That's what they say, NBA is fantastic. And right now we're watching this Dallas-Phoenix game, and I'm loving that. But I'll tell you what, that Golden State series is no joke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested to see
if Memphis could go win in San Francisco, though. You know, I want to see I know they were able to win in Minnesota, but can they go to San Francisco and win?
That's the tough one.
Forget me?
over there with his Golden State jersey and that sweatshirt. But that's the best one. Memphis has dudes that have no fear.
I
think they believe that they can go into Golden State and win. Now, whether they can turn that into actuality, you're right.
Yeah.
But those
that's
dudes
what I
don't fear
see.
Going.
I'm not convinced yet. I'm not convinced that they can go to Golden State and win. Yeah, yeah.
But see,
they got to. I'm going to be from Missouri on this one. They got to show me. So they're going to have to show me. They can go to San Francisco and win it. You know, the Warriors, as we can say what we want about them, but they playoff tested, right? And this Memphis team is growing up now. Now, don't get me wrong. I would love to see Memphis beat them because I'm pulling for Memphis. So don't get me wrong.
Of course you will.
But I want to see, you know, I'm not convinced that they can go to San Francisco and beat the Warriors. I agree with you on the Suns here. You know, Luka Doncic is the best player in the series, but the next three best players are all in Phoenix. And that's Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. Luka's the best player in the series, but the next three best players are with Phoenix. So it's going to be hard for Dallas to overcome that and beat Phoenix, in my opinion. I already talked about it. You know, Miami's going. And I think it's going to be tough for Milwaukee. I know they won the first game in Boston, but I still think it's going to be tough for them without Chris Middleton. Yeah, it's going to be tough for them without Chris Middleton.
Boston locked it down. Like, we ain't doing that, man. I'm like,
okay, but you knew Boston was going to do that because they can't go down 0-2 and then be headed to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
They have the capability to beat Milwaukee, don't get me wrong. But, like, we can't overreact to Milwaukee's game one win. We can't overreact to Boston's game two win. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. So we'll see what happens in Milwaukee in games three and four. But you knew Boston, their player, they've also been here before, too. You know, those young dudes are starting to grow up after playing playoff basketball. So they understood, we have to win game two, or this is probably over. So they came out with that sense of urgency. So I will give them that. I love the Memphis and Golden State because you're right. So we see them do it as a young team. We can't say yes 100%. But I feel like I see other teams, and you feel like Minnesota. I would never bet on Minnesota to go against Golden State and win because they seem timid. But that Memphis team, they look like they give two you-know-what. And it's like they won't be intimidated by the situation. So that's why I like their chances because of the way they are built, the way they play basketball. This Phoenix-Dallas series, to me, unless Dallas does something miraculous in the fourth quarter, it feels like a whole bunch of window dressing. Like they're going to play hard. Luka's going to get his. Luka's a beast. I say, because Devin Booker's a beast, too. And I know Luka's bigger, but Devin Booker's got that killer in him, and I love it.
He's not Luka.
Dallas doesn't have they don't have enough 2-8 to beat Ayton, Booker, and Chris Paul. I feel like they can keep it close. They can make runs. But I feel like Phoenix, if they play the way they should play, they should win this and do them a sweep in five. You know what I mean? Really, Phoenix can get the best draw. Like, New Orleans is pretty tough. Don't get me wrong. But to get New Orleans and Dallas as opposed to and then wait on the winner of Memphis and Golden State is a fantastic draw. That's the perks of being the one seed. They're like,
And the West is a little down than it has been in years. I mean, this is part of the weakest the West has been in a long time. The East has had the tougher conference this year. I mean, you got every team. I think with the top 9 or 10 teams in the East all had winning records this year. On the West, only the top 7 did. East was a really more of a tougher conference from top to bottom. I think 1 through 7, it only separated each other like about 7 games. So, I mean, it's unheard of.
There was no dodging in the East.
The West was top heavy. The West was, the West was top heavy. Phoenix, Memphis, Golden State, they were top heavy with those top three teams.
Yeah, because think about it from Boston standpoint. You get the two seed, and yeah, you give you Kyrie
and Kevin Garnett
and Kevin Durant in the first round. Like,
oh,
the
Durant,
was
yeah,
a beast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats. So,
yeah. I get
that.
In the second round. So,
yeah.
They get Kevin Durant
yeah.
and Kyrie Irving in the first round. They get the defending champs in the second round. So, yeah.
But
so,
I will say this.
I mean, even the Miami Heat, you get the Atlanta Hawks, the team that went to the East Conference Finals last year. You get a second round, you know, they're not facing Embiid, so they kind of lucked out on that. But even still, if you get a healthy Sixers
Miami.
Team, you're getting the team
yes.
with Embiid. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Miami is lucking out, too. I agree. I was going to touch on that.
Yeah.
Miami is lucked mm-hmm. the way I feel like Phoenix is lucked out in the West. I feel like Miami is lucked out
yeah.
in the East. This and their road is much clearer. They're like, let's take advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I don't think the Sixers could have won even with a healthy Embiid, but they have no chance without Embiid.
Come on, man. They
yeah.
could have won with Embiid. And they could have won in the Sixers. They could have won in, like, seven with Embiid. But without Embiid in the first two games, they could have just nailed this shit in. Like, this is over. We just playing basketball because mm-hmm. they tell us we're supposed to.
I think it would have been a healthy Embiid would have still been tough for them to win the series. Could they have won a couple of games? Absolutely. I think it was going to be tough for them to win the series. Miami's just playing outstanding defense right now. They got a little bit more depth. And, they you know, like I said, a healthy Embiid would have been a lot more entertaining. It looks like he might play game three because I think game three is not until Saturday. Oh, yeah. They need him.
I'd like to see Miami and Golden State in the finals. I'd like to see that matchup.
Yeah, that's not a bad matchup.
We almost, you know, Golden State in the finals.
Yes, sir.
What's that?
Do that.
We saw that movie already. We almost see Golden State in the finals.
Golden State better worry about Memphis. That's what all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well,
now,
I'm saying that,
but I think Golden State will be in the finals. I think they will be there, but I don't want to see them there.
Hey, I was going to say, just really quickly, in the fact that, and we'll let Gary get in, because, you know, the thing with Memphis, and somebody said this, you know, your greatest failure is your greatest strength, too. So whenever you get beaten, you know, Ja, after you played game one, he realized that they had a lot of mistakes, and, you know, the fact that Clay missed his two free throws, and he came back and – so Giles like, man, I missed an opportunity. But like, I do agree with you, JQ, that they know in their head, they just don't know enough that we can actually compete against this team. This is where that medal of Golden State, you know, we've gone through the experiences, and that's why it is interesting to see if they can win in San Francisco. If they get one, you're gonna be like, all right, you know, this is interesting to say the least, man. So you can't
suspend Dylan Brooks, they're gonna get one. I'm gonna say it. They're gonna get one in San Francisco. I'm gonna say it. They're gonna get one. Come back to Memphis.
I hope you're right. Now, the thing I think you got to be encouraged a little bit about Memphis in this series is that Ja Morant is playing. He's got a heck of a start in this series. He struggled in that series in Minnesota, and they still were able to pull it out. He did not shoot the ball well at all in that series in Minnesota, but he's coming out guns blazing in this series against the Warriors. In game two, like JQ just mentioned, they won that without Dylan Brooks. He got ejected early in the game. But if Ja Morant is playing at a high level, Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bane are knocking down the three-point shots, they got a chance. They absolutely do. Jaren Jackson's got to come up big, too, and as well as Xavier Tillman. They're going to have to come up big because that's where they have an advantage because Golden State is weak in the interior. So Jaren Jackson has to be huge. Yeah, yeah. They got to pull out the Patrick Beverly.
Oh,
you know,
my
yeah.
God. Don't even bring that dude's name up, man. Come on, man. Get the hell out of here.
But you talked about it. Gary Payton Jr. is a big loss for Golden State. He's arguably maybe their best on-ball defender. He's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. there's one thing to say. I can only play him 12 minutes a game. You can't play him no minutes a game. He's done. That's a bigger deal than I think people need to give credit for. The other game, they need
yeah.
him on defense, and they put Poole on the bench and brought him up as a sixth man and starting Gary Payton Jr. in that second half, like, that's a big loss. If you bitch,
yeah.
We know it's a big loss.
Payton,
yeah. He's out 2 to 3 weeks, too. 2 to 3 weeks. I tell you what,
yeah,
we talked
about
Golden State and a few other teams in the drafting. You got to give Memphis a lot of credit. The way they got Desmond Bane late in the first round, Dylan Brooks, I believe, was a second-round pick. So incredible drafting by the Memphis Grizzlies as well. I mean, obviously you got Jaren Jackson and John Morant early in the draft, but some good drafting there to get those two guys where they did in the draft. Similar to Golden State with, you know, getting Draymond Green in the second round, getting the guy Jordan Poole late in the first round from Michigan too. So, you know, credit to their talent evaluators too.
One thing they don't have pride, and the fabulous the playoffs that they from Greek.
Oh, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. God, he can take over a game. I don't like his Rico percentage, but he's ready, and I've seen him live. Why? Yeah, he's something else. He's the best player, in my opinion, in the NBA.
Wow.
And I think he can take over things when he wants.
Well, he's a champion.
Yeah.
Yep. So just really quickly, we're going to get ready to wrap this up. It's been a good show. Hopefully we can do some draft classes next week. We can continue to evaluate those, Rob, if you don't mind. And then also want to definitely talk about some undrafted free agents, the best that have the best chance to make a couple impact. So please talk about that next week. We can pull it on. You know, obviously we're going to talk about the suspension of DeAndre Hopkins, but, you know, Hollywood Brown gets traded to the Cardinals. I do want to give a shout-out to Dusty Baker, you know, amazing, you know, feat to become the 12th manager with 2,000 wins. So shout-out to him, you know, anytime that you know, we have a brother doing some good stuff, man. So, you know, that's awesome to hear that, too. So, you know, obviously, yeah, it was kind of tough when you beat the Astros. I was actually a fan of Dusty Baker, so just my heart was, like, going inside, too. But I do hope he does well, too, from that respect, too. But shout-out to him. And then, as well. And, you know, again, as we wrap up the show, I just want to say, Brittany Reiner, we're going to get you, Brittany, from Russia. So that's my last thing that I was going to say, too, man. So there you go.
I got nothing after that. I'm going to bed.
Appreciate you guys. But keep those for next week for sure.
Always,
you know, Curtis, appreciate you jumping on. Gary, appreciate you, you know, taking care, doing what you got to do. JQ, coming in. Bringing the fire, if you will, making us, again, just, you know, I had a nice, calm week, and then you just kind of listened to get my emotions, you know, again. So appreciate that, you know, as well, man. Thank you, man.
Hey. You know how to get Andre going. Start talking about his Falcons. Start talking about his Braves. Start talking about Trey Young and Luka Doncic. Oh, man, Andre going to hit the roof.
I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't walk into the call today to do that. So I'm sorry, Drake. My bad. I was just trying to be the sounding board.
I'm not mad at you. You know that it's just hilarious because you know I'm thinking about, you know, JQ's voice was in my, like, Rob's voice was in my head a couple of years ago whenever Matt Ryan and Glenn Dorsey, like, well, you know, it's cool. Drake London, you know we wanted, you know, Jordan Davis, and then, you know, see, like, Philadelphia, I'm like, damn, you know, you're like, man, they did it. And like, that's, you know, and we know the value. We talk about the value, right? But again, what you saw the run of wide receivers, so you're thinking, all right, you know, do we get a good wide receiver? You don't know, but that's how the draft kind of played out. But you see teams that know defense, you're like, damn.
I told you that was going to happen. I told you that precise
thing
was going to happen.
I know. That's why I wasn't mad.
With their size, they're going to cause some havoc. I mean, they got to get a quarterback.
That's only good.
Drake London and Kyle Pitts.
That's the only good thing. At least you kind of got that, you know. But
and they're talking about his 40 time. But guess what Cooper Kupp's 40 time was?
Our Jerry Rice.
4.62.
Yeah, Jerry Rice.
And he's still getting.
Hey, I tell y'all all the time. I tell y'all in the mock draft, I like Drake London's game. I mean, I didn't know if he was going to be number one receiver, but I did have a few mocks where I did have him go number one, too.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson is definitely more. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously
he's got a great game. He's got great body control. He's got great hands. You know, he played basketball. I think that helped him, you know, as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, I like his game.
Yeah. We're not mad at it. Just like, again, just, I know.
I didn't want to see him go to Atlanta.
Well, there you go. Appreciate you. All right, gentlemen. We'll see you guys next time, same time next week. Be safe. Have a great weekend. Keep those topics for next week, too, Rob, as well. We're going to keep grading the draft and everything like that. Gentlemen, have a great, great week. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
All right,
guys.
Good night, fellas.
That's it.
Good night, fellas.
Mother's Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there this weekend.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Curtis, for catching up.
Let's celebrate Mother's Day. And I got to ask a question. I think I saw the NBA, I mean, not the NBA, but the NFL. Did they really try? Did they really try two girls? Because I think I saw that.
No. Curtis was asking if the NBA drafted two girls.
Not the NBA.
Not the NBA. NFL?
Yeah.
No, I never heard anything.
I thought
about the NFL draft?
He was thinking that that he thought that there was a couple of women that got drafted in the NFL.
Oh, no. No, not yet.
No.
Would think I was, I'm glad of that.
Right.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Get some
rest.
All right,
guys. Next week. Get some rest. Yep, you too. Thank you.
Good night, fellas.
All right. Bye. Good night.
Good night.